Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just the trio of feathery brethren weathering any season to see the Eagles eating teams like Scrammy's top with cheese. It's Philadelphia, Bo, Sheila, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose. It's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Bo, Sheila, and Zach coming at you with steps and things, flapping their wings on
Birds with Friends.
All I know is Zach said he has a game where Sheila don't read both 7,000 pages. And I said, I'm in. Let's go. Let's do it.
And so the purpose
what I needed was not to get at least one more reader.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Birds with Friends. It's 12:48 in the morning, on a Friday morning, technically after a Thursday. We're going to give this game the appropriate amount of juice that it deserves. The Eagles losing a lot to a little. Zach, we've got a lot to get to. We'll talk about Jalen Hurts's stomach issues. We'll talk about Coyote Awashika being hidden at right tackle again. We'll talk about Devontae Smith's debut in an Eagles uniform. But I guess we should start with a word from the quarterback of the Eagles tonight, confirming that potentially he may be a listener.
Hey, Joe, you've seen a lot of preseasons in your career. In your experience, is there a correlation between preseason performance and regular season performance?
It's tough. It's probably just different across the league, depending on what your philosophies are and things like that. I think, you know, I think Peyton Manning back then, they used to go 0-4 or 0-5 if they played in the Hall of Fame game, and it didn't matter at all, you know. But I think depending on the type of style that you play and how much you end up playing your starters and things like that, those things all make, you know, it's nuanced.
What do we think, Zach?
I think that if I was – well, first off, it's odd to me that we're starting with this, but I suppose par for the course.
This is as close to football related as we can start the show.
I think if I was 6'6" from Audubon, New Jersey, and had a Super Bowl MVP, I would probably answer questions the same way Joe Flacco does, right? Like that's I thought it was a very well-articulated answer with –
He looked you right between your eyes and delivered a stone cold, it's nuanced.
And it is nuanced. And, you know, it was a good answer. It was a good answer. So we got that out of the way, and now we can talk about
maybe a hint of a wry half smile after he delivered an it's nuanced. I think we might as well say hello to Joe. Thanks for listening tonight, Joe, and we'll see you at your old stomping grounds in Florham Park next week.
Exactly. I hope he's a listener. Well, if he was a listener, he might be a little spooked out by the Audubon Hardware stories, but
he might be. But he might also be happy to know that we noticed that he was not wearing a mask tonight. So maybe he's come across to the other side on the vaccination front. Zach, why don't we talk about this bizarre sequence of events for the Eagles in this game? Jalen Hurts warming up before the game, dancing around, going through normal warm-ups, and then we get word right before kickoff that he is not going to start, that Joe Flacco is going to start, and he has an illness, a non-COVID illness, it was told to us. And after the game, Nick Sirianni tells us that he had stomach issues. He was complaining about the stomach issues. He wanted to play, but he had brought them up. The doctors decided to send him to the hospital, and he was checked out there. Turns out he has some kind of stomach infection, and he was discharged from the hospital, but the team made the decision not to play him. And, we've had some bizarre preseason games, preseason events in my lifetime, including when the Eagles signed Michael Vick in the middle of a preseason game. But this is close to being number two for me. What did you make of the sequence of events? Did you think it was fishy?
As in bad fish that he ate, or?
Okay. You know, Zach, we got to talk. This game was such an ugly game that it turned you into a little bit of a version of me. You went semi-viral with your tweet.
No, so
smacking down the Eagles.
So I wasn't smacking down the Eagles, but no. So with Jalen Hurts. It was odd because, look, not, I mean, we've all had stomach issues like from time to time, right? And don't make that a drop, by the way.
Let's make that a
drop. If one occurs like before a game, that's just bad timing. But it just seemed odd given that we saw him pregame and he was by all appearance, like he was dancing, he was going through drills, so he participated in pregame. So from it to get to that, to the point where he goes to the hospital, and to go to the hospital is so when we learn the hospital part of it, I think that showed that if you were wondering, was there something, this is odd, is there something to it,
the prelude to a Deshaun Watson
something trade, like that. I think the hospital kind of ends that, like, that shows
I
that
think
it's,
you're right.
it's serious enough that, you know, you
that'd be a long charade road to go down to not make it for it to be a lie.
Exactly. So but yeah, for the starting quarterback to be out there in warmups and then you know not to be on the sideline at all. And first we heard it was an illness, and then we heard it was a non-COVID illness, and then he wasn't on the sideline, and then we find out after the game the hospital component of it. I mean, we should say he's feeling fine now. Those are Nick Sirianni's words. So that's good to hear. You don't want someone to...
Adam Schefter says he's going to be home for 2 days. Is that the...
Yes, yeah, so I saw Schefter put that out there. The Eagles don't have like a full practice until Sunday. They're off tomorrow. There's the Eagles Autism Challenge on Saturday. So I would say that, if he's back on Sundays practicing against the Jets next week, that would be a good sign for the Eagles. But, a stomach infection goes beyond a sprained ankle, if you will. So you just hope that he's okay.
Well,
not to say that you hope he wouldn't be okay if he had a sprained ankle, right? I'm just saying that like this is beyond a normal football ailment, right?
What do you think he ate last night?
I don't know, something that had to get you hospitalized, right?
Have you ever had food poisoning?
Not like an official diagnosis, but I've had food that did not agree with me. For lack of a better,
I think you would know, but there's a difference between like food that didn't agree with you and like full food poisoning. Have you ever had food poisoning?
So then I would guess that I didn't. I mean, I've had like, I mean, we don't need to get into this. I've had stuff that did not agree with me. I'll put it that way. Okay. Like, and that's like,
I've had food poisoning once. It was just a terrible night. Just like sleeping in the bathroom on the floor.
So then let me ask
you, up all the time.
So to get from, so would you have been able to participate in pregame warmups if you had?
No, he did not have, he definitely didn't have food poisoning.
Okay.
No, that's a different hell. But yeah, I mean, well, you know, I asked Sirianni if he thinks if he would have played if it was a regular season game.
Oh, you did not just ask him, by the way. You asked him forcefully. I had gotten
shouted over when I was trying to ask it before. But it's tough when you've got the mask and you really want to be able to project.
Yes.
I didn't realize that it came across so forcefully.
No, it was good. You know, I think we should roll the tape. I mean, I didn't give that to Marissa there, but yeah, you asked it with authority.
Well, yeah, it's because I had to get it in.
Yes.
You know. And he said Hurts was advocating to play tonight, so he thinks he probably maybe would have tried to play if it was a regular season game, but hard to say. I don't know. Weird sequence of events.
Weird sequence
did you feel
of
like,
events.
Did you feel like this was the most dejected we've seen Nick Sirianni?
I mean, did you find him to be dejected? I didn't find him to be the
Jeff. I thought it was the most low energy we've seen him, at least.
Maybe so. You know, I mean, look,
I mean, they did just lose. They did lose 35-0.
Yeah, like it's funny or not funny, but
I mean, you know, Matt Pryor will do that to a guy.
The Jalen Hurts thing kind of overshadowed the fact that they were awful. You know, they were so bad. And
yeah, the less said about the game, the better.
And in the past six quarters now, they've been outscored 52-0. So
yeah, where'd you dig that nugget out of? Look at you.
I mean, I was at both games. Like, you know, I saw the.
It's a good sports writer, you know, selective and arbitrary endpoint. That's good.
Well, since the second, you know, since halftime of the.
Right.
Because they had a good first half. And then he said last week, you know, they were crisp in the first half, not in the second half, right? And so you look at the second half last week, then the four quarters tonight. Yeah, so that they were bad tonight. Now they did not play a lot of their.
And when
it
was, the first half at least was like not even backups, like 2/3 against the Patriots starters.
Yes, exactly.
So you know it was ugly for a reason, but it was ugly.
But the Hurts news certainly, certainly overshadowed it. So.
Well, and it did change their plan. Sirianni said they made the decision once Hurts was down to not play Kelce, Brooks, and Lane Johnson.
Flacco must have loved that, by the way.
Right, exactly. But Flacco, funnily enough, was like, you know, what were they going to play? 1 or 2 series anyway? Like, it was not a big deal.
Yeah.
Which is true. Like, they were probably not going to play much anyway. Yeah. So I don't think it affected, like, you know, the outcome or whatever. But as long as Jalen Hurts is... okay, I think this is fine, but I do think it's like, I mean, God forbid, I do not want to like overstate the importance of a preseason game at all, but I do think that like optimism about this Eagles season and it being like health dependent, like it is not a deep team.
No.
And especially at certain positions, right? Like
defensive tackle,
secondary. The defense, well, the defensive line, like it should be fine. They've got 6 or maybe even 7.
No, but the interior in particular,
right? But I think the secondary, especially, and like the offensive line, like we like the depth, but some of the guys who like we've considered good depth pieces, like Nate Herbig, has been bad this preseason, and like certainly wide receiver is not deep. So, you know, I'm somewhat optimistic about this Eagles season relative to expectations, but I also know that you know, this is an old team and injuries are going to come, and if they come in the wrong place, that there's a chance this season could get torpedoed. And I was thinking about that in the first half because, like, you know, it's not the craziest situation, it's not the craziest scenario to envision that there could be times this season when the starting offense tonight, like, is the offense. Like, if Jalen Hurts gets hurt and Joe Flacco is the quarterback. And then you've got 3 30-plus offensive linemen and Kelce, Johnson, and Brooks. Like, that's the starting lineup with these, like, all the, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, and Quez Watkins played the whole first half. Like, if that is the offense, like, it's going to be ugly.
I agree. I said
it's, but it's also, like, it's not crazy to think that could be the offense at some point.
Yeah, like, I said in our post-game pod last week, I made the joke how sometimes – you know, teams say like 1 through 90, this is the strongest group we've had, and, right. And that the Eagles can't say that this year. But no, beyond their starters, this is a team with a lot of holes, right? And
right.
And that comes
1 through 29 has a chance to be pretty good.
Yes, yes. And so, it's going to be interesting to observe. More than any year in recent memory, they need to stay healthy.
I guess that's true, yeah. I mean, I guess every year you need to stay healthy, right?
True.
But I think you're right. There's less depth this year than there has been in the past, probably.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Any other thoughts on Jalen Hurts' tummy troubles?
Not necessarily. You know, I wasn't expecting to see much of Hurts tonight, honestly.
Right.
So before we found out the severity of it, it honestly was not going to be a major part of my story. I was just going to say he's sick. You know, he did not go. Like, if they held him back.
Oh, dude, he is sick, bro.
No, if they held him back the way they did Fletcher Cox or Brandon Graham, like, it probably wouldn't have been that huge of a deal. You know, I appreciate them being forthcoming because you want to report the truth as to what happened. But I think what made it noteworthy was more the severity of it than the fact that he wasn't out there, because it is true that, you know, Nick Sirianni was noncommittal about how much these starters were going to play, and he was very encouraged by the way they looked on Monday and Tuesday. So, the big takeaway with Jalen Hurts was the fact that he was hospitalized, and the fact that Sirianni...
And discharged.
Yes, exactly. That Sirianni says he's fine, and now we'll see what happens over these next few days.
Okay. All right, let's get to the other important stuff, starting with the conversation that you and I had in the press box before the game, in which we asked each other who's most likely to get a penalty tonight. And last week, of course, I nailed it with Brett Toth right away. You answered Nate Herbig, which was a good guess. I responded with Matt Pryor, and the first penalty of this game goes to Matt Pryor. So another demonstrative victory for your boy.
You know what? If I am going to seed something, well, I don't have this great competition with you to begin with. Like, I want you to do very well, so I'm not. But point being,
this is interesting. Share your seed.
If I am going to seed something to you, let it be like that you can better predict who's going to have a penalty in a preseason game. You know, I am not.
I think at this point, you and I are going to have to predict this before every game.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not waking up at 4 in the morning being like, damn, how did I not get that one, right? There's a lot of things.
I actually don't know that I agree.
No,
with
there's
that.
A lot I of things. I will be fully transparent. Like, there's a lot of things that keep me up at night. A lot. Too much, frankly. That is not one of them.
What's keeping you up at night?
I mean, if there's a story that I'm working on, or a story that if I don't feel my performance is up to snuff, if there's things I need to do better, podcast performance, that keeps me up sometimes.
Does it really?
Yes. If I listen back and I'm not speaking clearly enough. The other day,
you do a fantastic.
No, the other day I said like too many times. I sounded like a teenage girl. It was
don't be throwing shots at teenage girls.
Sorry about that. So speaking clearly, so that could keep
you just be yourself, my friend. Okay. Don't worry about it.
But
it's not a performance, it's a hang.
In any event, the predicting of the penalties will not keep me up at night.
Okay, well, I think you should substitute that keeping you up at night for your podcast performance.
Fair enough.
Okay, what did you make of Coyote Awashika?
Well,
once again, playing right tackle, not right guard.
So it was impossible, in a good way I say this, to sit next to you and not notice this, because you were like outraged by this. You know, I
felt like Jason Lee in Mallrats, like that kid is back on the escalator. Like, I can't believe they're not playing Coyote Awashika at right guard. It was driving me nuts.
Yes. It
they're doing it on purpose.
So I feel bad for you because of just how much it seems to bother you.
It's because I care.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay. Why don't we talk about things that actually I know that you want to talk about?
Real quick, I have a question for Marissa, okay? And I want to see if I am just ignorant in terms of movie references, okay? But I thought I have a pretty good recall of movie quotes from movies that I've seen. Hey, Doctor, do you know what movie that's from?
I have no idea. And I'm like, I'm probably worse with movie quotes. I have not seen anything. So.
Okay, because Bo says to people, hey, Doctor.
Yeah, I have no idea what that's referring to.
Okay.
I don't say, hey, doctor.
Or you say, or hello.
I just say, doctor.
Doctor, yes, okay. Doctor. I was conflating that with Hey Rookie, the TV show that I watch. Yeah, so I wonder why he...
There's no way that this is way before Marissa's time.
So I get a pass?
Yes. I thought you were going to go to the Mallrats thing, which I feel like Marissa could get because it's a Jersey movie.
I've never seen that either.
Okay.
I'll add him to my list.
Are you too young to have even gone to the mall?
No, I love the mall. Come on. I was a teenage girl once.
So are you offended at Zach's throwing you under the bus for like?
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. I was not referring to a specific teenage girl. That is something I equate, I suppose, with when we were, there you go. When we were in.
I don't know, Zach. I think this might be it. I think you might be canceled.
No, Zach, do not let that keep you up at night. You could say you were referring to me as a teenage girl. Okay. I will be the scapegoat because it's very accurate. I still say a lot.
Thank you.
I don't know. This might be it for the show. This might be it for the podcast.
Don't do this to him.
I think this could be it for us.
He's kidding.
Please don't do that to me, guys. All right. So, yes, the coyote.
You want to hear something crazy, Zach? You want to hear something?
What's that?
Awashika. You want to hear something insane? Yeah. The paid attendance for tonight, according to the game book, 69,796. Did it feel like that to you in the stadium?
Well, no, the paid attendance, that makes sense.
Well, I know, because it's the paid attendance. Have to get it. Right, exactly. They just don't go. But I respect people who
spent their Thursday night at that game. My in-laws were there. I want to recognize them. They were there.
Did they see me waving to them?
I presume they did, yes. I will find out. I'm not going to text them at 1:10 in the morning to find out, but I will text them in the morning to find out.
Okay. Well, you were waving, and I figured I should wave alongside you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was good. Okay. Why don't we talk about the Eagles' first-round pick making his debut, Devontae Smith. I think we were a little bit surprised at how much he played. He played pretty much the entire first half.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that it's 21 minutes into the podcast and we're just now talking about Devontae Smith.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair because the lead story is Jalen Hurts, and we talked about the lead story. It's not like we buried the full lead. We did talk about
Joe Flacco's post-game press conference.
Well, we're going to take some detours along the way. We can't just go
and
down
the penalty
list.
Situation. Yes.
Inverted pyramid. That's not the show.
No, I've quickly learned that is not the show. Devontae Smith.
I think we've done a better job in this show of talking about the important things.
Well, shout out to our co-host Shio Kapadia, who his commentary from last week's show was that it took 30 minutes for us to talk about Quez Watkins.
Okay, yeah. That was the lead story last week. And we already got to the lead story this week pretty early on.
Okay. So Devontae Smith, that was going to be like the – when I drove to the stadium and I'm thinking, all right, what will I want to focus on? With my story, I was thinking Devontae
Smith. And we know that you were thinking, he was probably keeping you up last night thinking about what you were going to focus on.
It didn't keep me up last night because I prepared yesterday for it. So I had it written down, like different things I was thinking.
Okay.
So that did not keep me up at night. But I was eager to see Devontae Smith. And I, frankly, so my overall assessment, I thought he did a really good job getting open. He was shaky catching the ball, and he admitted to that too. And Nick Sirianni said he was antsy. Devontae said he didn't focus enough on catching the ball. His first three targets hit him in the hands and he didn't catch it. The first one, Flacco was laid on, I thought, and then
he was open. Flacco took too long, and then he did sort of catch it, and then the ball was
Then the second one, and you did a good job asking this, he was a little late turning around. And then Devontae Smith admitted it as much. So there are certain...
And Sirianni called him out on it too.
Exactly.
Said it was late getting his eyes around.
So there are certain timing things that I don't think will be an issue. And we've seen Devontae Smith enough over the past, you know, 4 years to know that his hands are not a problem. He's not going to have a problem catching the ball. I saw a joke on Twitter that, like, welcome to the Eagles receiving corps now, right? But
I actually think it's a good thing. I think what he did was he scouted the performance of Eagles receivers have passed, and he knew that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had a great preseason his rookie year, and GMs all over the league were texting Howie Roseman about what a coup he had in getting this great player in the second round. And he thought, you know what I should do? I should have a bad first game, not be good in the preseason, and then that way I will be good in the regular season.
If that's his strategy, that is pretty adept.
He's a genius.
I would just say I am on the list of, like, worries I would have about the Eagles. Devontae Smith is nowhere near, like, the middle of that. Like, he is so far down that list. And
like, he did not play well tonight, but this was a good night for Devontae Smith because he was healthy. Like, he played an entire first half. He was getting open. He had some nice releases. He was running good routes. Like, this was good stuff despite the drops. It was fine.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
I think that's right. Meanwhile, like, the rest of the receiving corps. So it was basically Rager, Smith, and Quez Watkins as the starting three receivers for the first half.
Yes.
And Quez did not do much tonight. He was targeted on a fourth down in the end zone and ran a nice route, but Kyle Duggar came over and broke up the pass. So the two big takeaways for me tonight from the receiver corps: one, Travis Fulgham buried on the depth chart. He was like on the field with the starting kickoff return unit as one of the frontline blockers, but he didn't play on offense until the second half, and he played deep into the second half. I don't think that it is a stone cold guarantee that he's going to make the team. I think he still will, but I think this was a reflection of how relatively unimpressive he's been this summer. And the other thing is, like, I don't know, man. Jalen Rager, he makes these highlight plays in one on ones, and he's had a couple good plays in team drills, but. Like, you know, there was that fourth down attempt to Rager that Flacco threw to him, and he can't separate at all on the outside. Like, I think I don't know what the upside for Jalen Rager is at this point. I think it's like a sort of a, like, I don't know if he can even be like a steady number two. I don't know. I'm overreacting, but I am, like, I'm pretty low relative to my what I was expecting to see from Rager at this point, even though he's had these flashy plays. Like, I don't see him separating consistently.
I am not trying to pat myself on the back here. I'm going to keep going back to my Nelson Agholor comp because I think that's what his career here and perhaps in the NFL is going to be. He's capable of the spectacular. He's going to have big plays. Is he going to be consistent enough for you to count on as your, like, top receiver or even your top two receiver, right?
Well, Nelson Agholor is one of the best Eagles of the last decade.
He's one of the better players from the past decade. Yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
Well, if Jalen Rager is one of the best Eagles of the next decade, that would be a win.
Well, they could also have better receivers during the next decade, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they could have more of them.
Well, what I think is actually one of the things I think is right about what you're saying, I think Jalen Rager might need to just stay in the slot.
Maybe switches, and we talked about this when this at the time it first came up. It is just so ironic.
I know. Because it's crazy. Like,
that was why they did not take Justin Jefferson.
It's crazy, and I think that's where he needs to play.
Yes.
Because I don't think he can separate on the outside.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
And that's how they're going to have to play him, and that's fine, but... Yeah, especially if Quez Watkins is an outside receiver. But I agree with how you started this, that those are the top three. And there was a scene, it was right in front of us, of those three guys walking out together with their pads off to start the second half. And so it's like our top three sitting.
Right.
You know, Greg Ward was still in the game. Travis Fulgham still in the game. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside still in the game. Quez Watkins, who entered camp on the roster bubble, right?
Yeah.
And now he's like entrenched in the starting lineup to the point that...
And he has earned that.
Yes. You know, we used to talk back when they had the fourth preseason game. Like, if you didn't dress in that game, then you knew you were on the team.
Not you had necessarily, a role. But yeah.
Well, that's...
For some
that's,
certain veterans, but yeah, you're right.
Sure, but that's what Quez Watkins would be. If they had a fourth preseason game this year, he would not play in it.
That's correct. That's right. I think that's well said. The offensive line in this game... Matt Pryor and Nate Herbig were both pretty bad. And they both played, I think, the entire game. Herbig started at center, played during the first half, and then moved to right guard. Matt Pryor played the first, I think, three quarters at right tackle and then played a little left tackle in the fourth quarter. And it just, I mean, so they were going up against the Pats starters for the first, I think, three series. But it was pretty ugly. And then Herbig, you know, he snapped the ball over Joe Flacco's head. Flacco, for some reason, picked it up and tried to do something and then fumbled. So he gets credited for two fumbles on the play. But, like, would you trust Nate Herbig as the backup center in the regular season at this point?
Well, I think that's going to be Landon Dickerson at some point here.
At some point. But if he's not ready for week one, I don't know. I mean, I would rather...
You hope at Jason Kelce's healthy.
Well, at this point, I would rather play Seumalo at center and probably play Opeta at left guard than play Herbig, I think.
Probably so.
Herbig's been pretty underwhelming this summer.
Like, He has. Maybe he needs that weight.
I'm not sure that he's going to make the team.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, it's the same thing as you said last week. Whatever he's done to Stoutland, I mean, he had to play the whole game tonight.
Yes. Yeah, so, that's a good point. What'd you think of them opening up in 13th personnel tonight?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was a nod. It was a nod to us, I'm sure. Maybe Sirianni's a listener. They opened up in 13 on the first play of the next drive or whatever it was with Rodgers, Kroom, and Stoll.
Yes.
I thought that like Jack Stoll is one of like two or three players who played well tonight.
He did here. I'm pulling up his stat line now. Targeted seven times. Yeah. Four catches, 33 yards. Had the one-handed catch.
I think he might make the team. This is our first pod since the Tyree Jackson injury. So
correct.
We all saw Tyree Jackson at practice the other day fall hard on his back, and he was down for a bit and he stayed in, but it turns out that he's got a broken bone in his back. The Eagles have told us he's out 8 to 10 weeks. Do you think they carry him? So the rule is, if he goes on injured reserve before week one, before roster cutdowns, he's out for the year. He is not allowed to return. If they want him to be able to return, they have to keep him on the week one roster on the initial 53, and then after that, they can put him on IR, and he can come back in whenever weeks.
But he does not have to be on the week one roster.
He has to be on the initial?
He just has to be on the initial and then once it clears waivers.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm almost positive on that, yes.
Okay, you can keep them on, then once waivers
correct
process, then you can put guys on IR?
Then you can put guys on IR, correct. Okay.
Either way, it's an interesting balance. I sort of think just redshirt him. Like, it's not like he was going to be...
But then he can't practice at all for you.
He can't practice, but, you know, he can be in meetings. He can work on the side. I don't know. Do you think he was, like, so impressive that he's going to be part of the team? I think a lot of it actually has to do with whatever ends up happening with Zach Ertz.
Yeah, the Zach Ertz part of it is something to consider. The other thing is that Richard Rodgers is a... He's not eligible for waivers. So this is something that the Eagles did last year, if you recall, with Cravon LeBlanc. Remember?
That's right.
Where they cut LeBlanc, and then they opened spots up when they put guys in IR.
That's right.
And so if you don't think Richard Rodgers is going to go and sign somewhere else, then you carry Tyree Jackson on the initial 53, and you cut Rodgers, and then you just sign Rodgers a few days later.
But if he is on the week one roster, he's a vested veteran.
His contract
becomes guaranteed.
Exactly.
I wonder if they'll wait for week two for him.
And if you remember with Rodgers last year, this was also pretty interesting, was that so they lost Noah Tongeai and they needed a tight end, and they signed Rodgers before week one, guaranteeing that, you know, guaranteeing his salary, correct?
That is right. Yes. Once they lost Tongeai.
Yep.
That is correct. So I don't know. I don't know what they'll do with Tyree. I think it is interesting that the Eagles gave us an 8 to 10 week timeline, because if they were planning on just putting him on IR, they might not have given that to us. Do you think that's a fair read?
I actually see it the other way. This way, it's not like a phantom IR thing, right? You know,
but if you were planning on it at this point, you could just say he has a broken bone in his back, and then you leave it at that, and then it sounds maybe worse than it is.
True, maybe so.
I don't know. So but anyway, I think it's interesting. I think Stoll could. I think it's a possibility Stoll makes the team.
But I think that and you said this in our beat back and forth, like Richard Rodgers is the perfect Craven LeBlanc candidate from last year. Cut him and then sign him on Wednesday.
Or sign him week two.
But or yeah. Sign him week two.
Guys like that. The other one who is definitely like that for me is T.Y. McGill, who has been really good this summer and is like probably the third best defensive tackle on the team, if you don't count Milton Williams. But, you know, he's a vested veteran. He's 28 years old. Do you really need to keep T.Y. McGill? Is anybody else going to sign him right away? Can you just wait till week two? I feel like he's a guy who they might do that with.
And then you've been talking about it being Jordan Howard. I think
Jordan
Howard's
the other one. You're right. He's the other one.
I think Jordan Howard's a lock right now.
You think he's a lock?
I think Jordan Howard is their number two running back going into the season.
I think that's so bad.
I think he's impressed this coaching staff. He's still young, right?
He was one of, if not the worst running back in the NFL last year.
Last year, and he's admitted like last year was bad, and he's admitted that he's in better shape this year, but in 2019 he was a
who's
difference
signing
maker.
But who's signing him?
It's not a matter of who's signing him.
Can't you just get him in week two?
I think he has a week one role on this team.
Man, that's disappointing.
He's gonna be their short yardage back this year. That's what I think.
All right. This is what's going to keep me up at night.
Is you want Jordan Howard not to be employed week one. That's what's going to keep you up.
It's just bad roster construction, I think.
I mean, not if you think he's a good player.
Has there been a lot made of the fact that Cam Newton and Mac Jones have palindromic first names?
So I saw that on... I saw that today, and I thought of that. But I don't know if it's... I read some Patriots coverage.
How is this not all we're talking about?
Well, if you were covering the Patriots, I imagine this would be a big deal.
Well, if I was covering the Patriots,
how would that go?
I'd be doing it a little differently than most of that media corps, which is, oh my goodness, you would not believe how genius Bill Belichick is. Look at this. This is unbelievable. This team is fun. Oh yeah. What? Everything they do just turn to gold. Coach Midas.
If I was covering the Patriots right now, I would be having sleepless nights worried about Seth Wickersham's book, because I think it's going to be outstanding.
I do want to read. I do not need more Patriots in my life, but I do think I am looking forward to reading that book.
Yeah. So, you know, because I am like that. And I've told Seth this, so I will say this on air, is that...
First name drop. Nice work.
like, Seth's one of those guys who, as a reporter, you're like, oh, no, when you see him. Because you know he's going to get something that you don't have. And it all, you know, he was here a lot during the Chip era. He did a great cover story on LeSean McCoy. and he's great to hang out with, right? You know, you learn so much being around him. But I'm always like, all right, when this comes out, it's gonna, I'm gonna kick myself.
Mm. I like a Wickersham. I've got love for all the former ESPN the magazine writers. Okay. What do you think of Cam and Mac tonight?
Well, so, and this ties into the Eagles. Cam Newton was picking on Zach McPherson.
Yes.
In, I think, three of the first four plays were targeted at McPherson. And this doesn't mean McPherson's a bad player, and it doesn't negate what has happened the first 3 weeks of camp when I've been impressed by him. But it also shows that he's not impervious to the...
I think he's a little bit further along than maybe we were talking about at different points. Further away, meaning.
Further away, yeah, yes. Okay. Yeah, so that clearly, like, he started in place of Darius Slay, and Cam Newton went after him. Right, you know, that was the guy they were going after.
Yeah, and he didn't do great. And he also, in addition to that, like, there were a couple really bad tackle attempts. On the Jacoby Myers touchdown, in which Myers beat Kayvon Wallace, like at like the 3 yard line or whatever, McPherson has a chance to get him out of bounds and just totally whiffs. And there were a couple other missed tackles, so it was a bad night for Zach McPherson. Yeah, I think he had one pass breakup on that 2-point conversion attempt, but yeah, I mean, you know, the idea that there's like not much of a difference between him and Steven Nelson, I think, is probably
Is that something people had an idea about?
I think you had said that.
I did never said that. I think what I said, and
when I think said, what you said was that if they knew that he was going to play this well, they maybe wouldn't have signed Steven Nelson.
What I was going to say, yes, is that they didn't do the Darby thing from a few years ago where they evaluated what they had their first 2 weeks of camp, and perhaps they would have operated differently under that. But I never said that there's no difference between him and Steven Nelson.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, I think like if you were in base defense and one of Slayer Nelson went down, I think you would probably still play Avante Maddox on the outside over Zach McPherson.
Interesting. It put Josiah Scott at slot?
No, I said base.
Oh, a base. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe so.
But yeah, I mean, you're not in base that often, so that doesn't really matter. Okay, yeah, Kayvon Wallace was victimized and then re-injured his groin that had kept him out a couple of weeks, which is kind of funny because he was like really bragging this week after practice about how he's like Wolverine because he's a fast healer, and he did the same thing last season. So, I mean, that's good, but. Not if you just keep re-injuring it. And I don't know if you saw this, Zach, but Cam Newton called him Glitter.
I saw that.
After the game because he was he's a cheerleader from the sideline who wears glitter.
I saw that.
So, I don't know. Maybe Cam Newton and you are going to have both be getting calls from the National Organization for Women.
Please.
Getting called out.
Please don't.
The two of you getting canceled together.
Sorry about that. All right. Yeah. I meant no ill will toward anybody, but that
you're
that
the father. You're the father of a daughter.
Well, I don't like when like I don't need to be a father of a daughter to be offended by if someone says something that or does something that is wrong toward women. Like just as a human, I could feel that. But I think equating like with a teenage girl is not. That was not like a.
People have been canceled for less, Zach.
All right, then I take back what I said. Just teenager. How about that? Is that or is that like an ageist?
How about a Californian?
Well, that's a geographical. Anyways, it's 1:36 a.m. We don't need to have this debate.
Okay, I thought the quote of the night was. Alex Singleton on Milton Williams said, he's a dog. The first thing I noticed about him is that he doesn't have a neck. which is a good line. I mean, I think there's two different thoughts. I don't think, like, Alex Singleton thinks that all dogs have no necks, but
it's funny because, or not funny, you know, they lose 35-0, right? There's this, you know, there's this big story about where's your starting cornerback. And it's just the nature of the media landscape now, right? We're not in the locker room. So the first guy up is TJ Edwards, right? And it's, you know, and then it's like Alex Singleton, right? And it reminds me, it's not apples for apples, but if you remember last year, week 17, right, when they had the tank gate, if you will, all right,
which you tweeted about so virally,
but they I forget who it was who was the first guy up, but it was like an undrafted rookie, you know, who was first guy talking
like
to
Kevon
us.
Seymour or something,
yeah, or like Michael Jaquette or something, right, like that. and you you're like, goodness, you know,
right, yeah, well, the poor guy's got to, like,
he's the spokesman, like,
the
team
arrows
right
get flung at this guy who had nothing to do with the decisions.
Exactly. Here, I'm trying to pull up my quotes from that game, but it was.
Well, I did think this game was funny, and I sort of tweeted about this, but this game was sort of the, like, the rejoinder to, you know, a certain portion of the fan base that's like, you know, the team ignores linebackers, because this game was like the only good position group on the field tonight. Was the linebackers? It was
it's
like
the only group they played.
It was like, well, yeah, and it was like the bizarro universe in which the Eagles only had good linebackers and were bad everywhere else, and they lost 35-0.
I thought you had the tweet of the night.
I thought you had the tweet of the night. So.
No, yours about the kickers. Do you want to share what you said?
Sure. I said the only thing the Eagles are winning tonight is the kicking battle, which is unexpected because they didn't have a kicker tonight.
Exactly. And I had been reading a lot of Patriots coverage about how Quinn Nordin was doing great, right? And tonight, what, he missed three kicks?
He was kicking like my driver. Everything's spraying right. Like my golf game, Zach.
Is that how your golf game goes? You spray right?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes, okay. I yank it left too. You know, I'm an equal opportunity misser. I guess I miss a little. I miss more right. Good stuff.
Am I supposed to respond about your golf game or about good stuff? Like,
I don't know.
So here, let me ask you this, okay? And again, I...
Ask me whatever you want. Carte blanche. I'll give you an honest answer.
No. We are talking about the game here. And again, I don't want to sound an alarm because preseason, I don't believe there's a correlation between preseason and,
well, it's
and regular season. But from just the perspective of, you know, you talk about being competitive, you talk about, you know, all these... To be outscored 52-0, what do you make of that? Do you just make that they were going against first-teamers and they had third-teamers out there? Do you make the lack of depth? Or do you think that it speaks more to who this team is right now?
Can I give you an honest answer?
Yeah, you don't think it matters at all?
My answer is nothing. I make nothing of it.
Okay, and that's fine. That's why I asked you, okay?
What do you make of it?
Probably the depth part of it. I thought last week against the Steelers, the way the backups played, and we talked about this on that post game pod. I thought they were inferior to the teams that, you know, in terms of the way they played to the Steelers that game, which was obvious when you look at the second half score. And then tonight, even in the second half, right, like they were uninspired. I don't know if uninspired is the right word. They just weren't good enough. And it starts at the quarterback, right? Nick Mullins wasn't good enough. And then the defense.
How much worse could Jamie Newman be than Nick Mullins?
Well, yeah, Nick Mullins.
He must be much worse.
Yeah, Nick Mullins' tape was was better than this. Nick Mullins has won games in the league.
So has Joe Webb.
Joe Webb won a very important game in this league. Now I'm curious. Nick Sirianni said last week that he's managing the game the same as he would in the regular season, but in the regular season he would have a kicker. So do you think fourth and four from the nine, when he goes for it, do you think that's a go for it situation, or George, do you think he kicks the field goal in the regular season?
I think for the very first time in my life, in the history of this show, maybe we must be close to like 500 episodes at this point. For the very first time, I identify with Sheil in terms of I can't believe this podcast is still going.
Okay. All right, sorry. I'm going through my notes here. This is the stuff that.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy. I've rubbed off on you. You want to extend the show. You're finally making salty jokes about the Eagles on Twitter. This is all good.
By the way, I didn't think that was a salty joke about the Eagles on Twitter. It was like the week 17 game last year. They put in their backup quarterback and they played their 13 guys. Like that was a fact. That's how they were. Right.
It was a salty one. Fourth and three from the nine. I think if he had a kicker and it was 7-0, I think he probably would have kicked a field goal. I would have gone for it, but I think he probably would have kicked a field goal.
Okay. Now, for the record, I think it was 12-0 then, or 13-0.
Okay.
But yeah, 13-0. But no. So if Nick Sirianni's going for fourth and three from the nine this year,
well, there was one early in the game, they were down 7-0. It was
fourth
like,
and inches.
Fourth and inches. Yeah, from like 30-something. Like,
and he punted.
Just go for it, dude.
Exactly.
It's a preseason.
Exactly. So we really didn't get to see the lack of a kicker thing because they didn't have any extra points and that was their only field goal situation. So
it's too bad. I would have liked to see a Sipos field goal attempt with Ertz holding.
And we were joking, of course, that's why they haven't traded Zach Ertz, because they needed the emergency holder.
Highest paid holder in the league.
That is true. Actually, no, there's probably a backup quarterback who...
But who is actually the holder? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that actually they don't really have the backups holding.
Yeah, that's a thing of the past. Tony Romo, maybe last of a dying breed.
You know, there was a story that I always wanted to write that I never wrote, which is a shame because I had 5 years of writing it. Doug Peterson was known to be
a good holder,
a great holder, and not just that, but he takes a lot of pride in his holding. I've spoken to him about it, right? I never ended up writing that story, but he took a lot of pride in his holding.
You know who else is a good holder?
Coy Detmer?
Matt Pryor.
Oh, yes, okay, because you got the penalty thing.
You know who else is a good holder?
Who?
Steven Holder.
He's a great holder. I enjoy his work, but now that we're doing this, I think we can wrap it up.
Well, do you have anything else in your notes?
No, I would implore our readers to check that out and on The Athletic. And then also, I can't wait for your stock up, stock down tomorrow.
Oh, I mean, you can wait for it. It's nothing special. You saw the game. We already talked about it at length in this episode. There's nothing in there that's going to surprise you.
Well, when I read that tomorrow morning and I tweet it out, I hope our listeners read that as well.
Okay, I hope they read yours too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I hope they listen to every podcast that Marissa produces.
Thank you. All right, so real quickly, schedule coming up. This is going to be a light next few days for the Eagles.
And for Birds with Friends.
Yeah, they're practicing Sunday night at the Link. I don't know if we're going to have a post-Sunday night practice.
I don't think we need to do that.
Maybe we'll do a Monday day off one. We will discuss that. But certainly Tuesday, Wednesday from the joint practices against the Jets, we will have that. And then next Friday night is the preseason finale. And then July 31st, they get the roster down to 53. And
which day of the week is that? Is that Saturday
Tuesday,
or Sunday?
I believe it's a Tuesday.
Oh,
yes, okay. It's a Tuesday. I said July 31st. I'm sorry, August 31st.
Yeah, that would have been some tough time travel math.
Yes, that's a Tuesday.
Okay. Exciting stuff. Give me one.
No, seriously. Okay. Give you one.
That could be a drop. No, that was going to be a 53-man roster thing, but we don't have to talk about it.
We really don't have to talk about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. The Eagles losing 35-0. And we'll talk to you later on. So for Sheil, fast asleep, counting the sheep in his head. For Marissa. And for my dearly departed, canceled co-host, Zach. I'm Bo. And as always, we love you.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.